Maybe it's because my baby is gearing up to graduate this year. But I have been spending an awful lot of time thinking back to when the kids were little, or even before the kids were born, and all the things that I dreamt for them, all of the plans that I had for them. You know, I can remember having conversations before the kids were born about what I wanted for them. Now, of course, all parents, we pray that our kids are happy and healthy. I prayed that they would make fewer mistakes along the way than I did, but I knew that they would make mistakes. I had no illusions that my children were going to be perfect. And you know, way, way back in the beginning when God was creating, I don't think he had any illusions about us either. God knew we weren't going to be perfect. God created us. He gave us free will, and in doing that, he had to know we were going to mess up. And yet still, I grew up with the understanding that I was constantly and continually disappointing God whenever I made a mistake. Every time I wasn't perfect. But you know, if I knew my kids weren't going to be perfect, and if God is exponentially wiser than I am, why would I ever think that God expected me to be perfect? You know, started January 1, a girlfriend of mine and I are reading through the Bible in a year together. And so I've been spending a lot of time in Genesis, and we just started Exodus. And so I've been looking at figures like Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. Can I tell you, these guys were not perfect. Not by a long shot. Abraham was a habitual liar. He kept telling everyone his wife was his sister. Jacob, he stole the birthright that ought to have gone from his brother. He tricked his blind dad. He tricked his brother and then ran away to get away with it. Joseph was a braggart, the youngest of all of these brothers who kept saying, "You know what? Someday you all are going to bow down to me." He had a bit of an ego. And Moses, when confronted with God, when God said, "Moses, I need you to do a job for me," Moses argued over and over and over again. "God, you don't want me. God, pick somebody else. I can't do that. Don't you know I'm not a good public speaker, God?" These guys were not perfect, but God used them in miraculous ways. God knew none of us are perfect. And God made a plan. God sent us Jesus, not to beat some sense into us, not to punish us, not to punish Jesus, but to save us, to begin the work of restoration, healing, and recreating. Jesus comes not to fix everything in an instant, but to point us to God's redeeming work. And when Jesus came to begin this incredible turnaround, he didn't come with armies. He didn't come to wipe out all that had come before and start fresh. He didn't come and expect us to all of a sudden fit into this perfect mold that, quite frankly, would pinch and scrunch us a little bit. The healing of the world doesn't come with conquest and world domination, with enslaving us all to God's will and way. It came with love and with teaching, with feeding, with self-sacrifice and submission. It didn't come demanding. It came serving. And most people will tell you that that is just not how big, substantive changes happen. Bombs change things. Wars change things. Presidents, kings, legislation, and other such things change things. But one guy who never traveled more than 100 miles from where he was born, who never wrote anything down, One guy who was never on TV or on the radio or on the internet, he never had a viral video, and who was executed by the government at age 33, this guy surely can't change the world forever. It all sounds crazy. It sounds impossible, and yet that is the story of our faith. God overcomes the world, not with power and might, but with love and sacrifice. Worldly wisdom tells us that that's nonsense. No one can conquer the world with just love, but that's exactly what God did. Overthink it and you'll never understand it. Try to rationalize it and it only becomes cloudier. Our God does things in an upside-down, topsy-turvy kind of way. Just think about those Beatitudes that we read a few minutes ago. Is this how the world thinks? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Does that sound like the way the world works? No, our God does things in a different way. And you know what? We don't have to have all of the answers. We don't have to make sense of it because God does. We don't have to be able to do it all because only God can. And we don't have to save ourselves or anybody else. That's God's doing. We are weak and we are foolish compared to God. Boy, there's the understatement of the year for you. And you know what? God chose us anyway. Chose us in our weaknesses, in our foolishness. God calls us and sends us out to be God's hands and feet in the world, knowing exactly who and what we are. Because to do God's work, we don't need postgraduate degrees. We don't need positions of authority or power. To do the work that God has called us to do, all that we truly need is a willingness to follow God, a servant's heart that doesn't seek our own power or glory, and love. A love of God and a love of neighbor, all of our neighbors. That's it. That's what God asks of you. Well, then, and actually following through with serving and loving. It seems too simple. I get it. Maybe it even seems foolish to think that this great and powerful Almighty God would want something that seems so small from us. But again, God created us. God knows what we're capable of and what we are not. God does not ask or expect more than we can give. So friends, God is calling. And as Paul wrote to those in the church at Corinth, consider your calling. Think about it. What is God calling you to do? When I was first feeling this call to ministry, I was intimidated. I just didn't seem like most pastors I knew. I'm not good at praying in public. I don't have large swaths of the Bible memorized chapter and verse. I spent a big chunk of my life as a rather half-hearted Christian. I've never been comfortable with public speaking. I would always much rather take a supporting role instead of being the one in the spotlight. I thought there's no way I could ever pastor a church. And I went and I talked to my pastor about that. And I confessed all of these fears and these insecurities to him. And Pastor Joel, he's a great guy. But you know, if there's one thing about Joel that I've learned over the years, he has a bumper sticker saying for just about everything. You know those people? They always have that cutesy little corny saying. Now, usually when he would roll these out, I would roll my eyes. They were just a little too cheesy for me. But this time, as I confessed all these insecurities to him, his little bumper sticker saying struck me. I'd heard him say it before, but for some reason that day it hit me. He said, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God knew me inside and out. I didn't have to have all of the answers that day. God called me to be a pastor as the immense screw-up that I was and still am. God has opened doors for me to be the pastor that God wants me to be. My call, like yours, is ever evolving. As we go through life, as we gain some amount of knowledge and understanding, as we have experiences that shape us, God continues to use all of that for God's purpose and for God's glory. And as I was reflecting on that today, and again, I told you I was reading some of the Old Testament and thinking about some of these guys, I remembered a thing that has floated around Facebook on and off for several years. And Andrea, can you advance it? This is going to be a little hard for you guys to read, but it says, Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam gossiped. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered. And Lazarus was dead. If God could use them, God can use us. Your calling is not my calling. My calling is not the same as some other pastor's calling. God knows us, knows what we can do, knows how we think, and calls us accordingly. We don't have to know the whole plan in detail. God does. What we need to know is God is love. God loves you. God loves me. God loves all of humanity. And it's God's desire to heal our broken world through love, through service and sacrifice, and through the power that brought Jesus up out of the grave. That power can bring life out of death, out of dark, out of hopelessness, out of fear, and out of despair, even today. Yeah, it seems impossible, maybe even foolish, but that's what I know to be true. God's wisdom is so much greater than mine, and so I trust God. Amen.